And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John. First epistle of John. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Help us, God, to see and understand. Spirit of God, to see and understand, and that we might be exercised by your person and presence. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our reminding ourselves of the light of the Gospel of John, which we finished, or at least went over it a bit, the 21 chapters. And in the process, we shared together that John, in the turn of the century, before the turn of the century, 95 plus or minus, right in there, A.D., John is writing. And he's telling us to be able to enjoy and exercise the wonderful person and work of our Lord as expounded to us in the Gospel of John. To be able to understand an awesome God, a wonderful Savior, in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to enjoy and honor him. Now, having said that, and we shared together in the first epistle of John, in chapter 1, the issue, what is needed for the relationship? How do we enjoy the relationship to God? By fellowship. We have to have a personal relationship to God in a personal way to enjoy God personally, fellowship, union, communion, unity, to be able to be like Moses, face to face with God, to be able to be comfortable with God's wonderful person, his awesome presence. Now, having done that, we then shared the joy that would be there in doing that. But you can't enjoy the joy of God if you aren't relating to God. God is wonderful working, and what he does, it belongs to God. And if I don't understand God or see God, how can I enjoy God? How can I do that? I can't do that. I need to be able to know and honor him. Now, so in the process of knowing and honoring and looking to God, so God says you have to have light. Why do I have to have light? Because God is light. Darkness, we got the darkness, and we don't see, don't understand God. But God has died on the cross to give us light. Wonderful, wonderful light. He is the light of the world. That's what he says in verse 5. You can't enjoy the joy of God without God. You can't enjoy God in the dark. You've got to be in the light. How can I get out of the dark? By looking to God, who is light. That's what I need to do. Now, having said that, and just locking that in a bit before you do it, over, if I can, to first, to Proverbs. No, do it backwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And you will note in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, we did it in Sunday school. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't enjoy God if you're not without the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is necessary. But if I reject the Spirit of God, I reject Christ, I don't have that relationship. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring to light the God of light. Do it another way. The Spirit of God's awesome ministry is to bring the light of God into the experience of our life. That's what do. So the week's light comes on. Dark, light comes on. I see the light. Now, having said that, that's Spirit of God's ministry. And you will note, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, the truths, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring the power, the light, into our heart, into our life, so that we enjoy the light of God. God is light. We need to understand and see light. What I mean, I need to see God. I need to know God. How can I know God? In Christ Jesus, who died on the cross, who makes God knowable, understandable. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that very, very real and practical in our lives. That is for now. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, spiritually, so they got it back in verse 14, their foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, when you say that, now tie that together, which you know, illustration, Old Testament, of what we just looked at. Go with me, please, over to Proverbs. And in Proverbs, and chapter 20, you have chapter 20, illustration of what we just looked at. And you will note Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. It brings light. Now, you know, or should know, you're made up of soul. That's a person inside. And the soul, your soul, person, houses your spirit. And the soul and spirit, that's you, person, lives inside this body. The body houses the soul. The soul houses the spirit. That's what we are. We're humans, and we aren't a deer. We aren't an elephant. We have a spirit. Animals can have life. They can't have spiritual life. They aren't made that way. God made us in his image and likeness to know and honor him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, body, soul, spirit. That's what we are. What is the Spirit for? So that we can relate to God. Animals, the kangaroo can relate to God and do whatever and respond to God's commands. But the kangaroo can't worship God. You'll never see a bunch of squirrels gathered every Sunday morning worshiping God. They just don't do that. They don't worship God. They're not made for God. You're made for God. What makes you different? You have a spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him, John 4, in spirit and in truth. So we've got to have the spirit. the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And if David, if we were writing it today, we wouldn't say candle. David never had a light bulb. David never had a light bulb. We have light bulbs. Bulbs. Now, having said that, just think of that, if you can. Here you are, the spirit of man, the spirit inside, is the lamp. It's made for me to know God, the spirit within me. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm no different than the squirrel. I'm made to know God in a wonderful way. Christ died on the cross to make the relation real and practical and possible. And therefore, when I receive him as my Savior, God does a wonderful thing. He's the light. He brings life. And when he brings his wonderful life, he brings his wonderful light. And I have a relationship to God. And if I had, I don't have a, I do. The thing, I could plug it in and it would light up. So when I'm looking to God, the light, God meant this for me to know him, to have light, the candle of the Lord. Now to see it, so you see it, over if I can, to Psalm, and Psalm 18, as you know. And in Psalm 18, David says, verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle." Why? "The Lord my God will lighten my darkness." So what happens? When I get saved, I got saved, and God brings power to this light. And as it goes, that, so the when I have my heart, I receive Christ as my Savior. He is the light. He brings light, 2 Corinthians 4. He brings light to my life. And when he brings light to my life, the darkness, like we shared, darkness, I can bring darkness into this room, a deep, deep darkness, like down in the depths of the ocean. I can bring this deep, deep darkness, but it could never, never, never put out that light. It can't do it. All the darkness in the world can't put out that light. That's wonderful. God is light, like we shared last time. Now, having said that, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. On the other hand, light, when light comes into the darkness has to disappear. In God's holy, happy heaven, it's all light. The darkness, what's the difference between now and hell, the lake of fire? What's the difference? We can live in the dark, like we read and said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. We turn everything upside down to live with it. We call darkness light and light darkness. We call good evil and evil good. We turn it all upside down so we can live with it. But in eternity, there is no more darkness. And the lake of fire is in full light. There is no more darkness. God is light. That's what makes hell different than now. This is the believer's heaven. This is the world. This is the believer's hell. And this is the world's heaven. God's a changer. And light. He's awesome light. He makes everything real. What does light do? It dispels darkness. So you can't ever fudge and say that the red is green and the green is blue. You can't do that in the light. You can't do it in the light, in the truth. The reality has to be faced in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and we shared in God's wonderful grace, that he started off when he created us humans, like angels, have the choice. We have the right to choose yes and no to God. It's up to us to make a choice so that we worship God willingly, by choice. We choose to do so. And God thus helped in all the world we live in. He put Genesis 1, etc. He put darkness. He made light darkness, and then he made light. And light and darkness are separate from each other. The light of the day and the night of the and dark of the night, they're separate. Two different things. When light comes up in the morning, darkness disappears. That's darkness. God does that so that we live in a world. We're very conscious of dark and light, dark and light. We need to know God is light in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and men love darkness rather than light, John 3, because their deeds are evil. They didn't want to see the light. They didn't want to know the light. Over to John for a minute. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you will note, Gospel of John, chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 4. I'll read verse 3 for context. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 4, 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Tried to overcome it. Can't overcome. Can't get rid of the light. No matter what it does, the devil, the world, the system, can't get rid of the light. It just doesn't disappear. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you can. So, God is light. And so, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, he gives us life. The life that we have when we're dead, we're blind, as it were, literally, if we're dead, we don't see. But when we have life, God opens, gives us sight. I didn't have it in the dark. I didn't have it when I was dead. But I have it when I have life. And life is what does life do? It helps me to see. I was blind, but light helps me to see. Why does it help me to see? Because I see God. God turns the light on so that I see. And when I get saved, God, Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to keep this lit so that I walk in the light as he is in the light. I'm always in the dark. But in the light, there is no darkness as I go forward. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to John chapter 8, reminding ourselves. And in John chapter 8, picking up, please, if I can, and you will note verse 12 again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. You're going to be able to know from darkness to light, and you're going to walk in the light and not in the darkness. Now, having said that, keep that in mind, if you would, and see it again a little differently over to Psalm 4. And in Psalm 4, You will note and chapter 4, verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance, thy face upon us. God, we need you, your personal presence, the light of thy face, the light of thy countenance upon us. God, we need that. And, verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase, more than the harvest. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in sleep, peace, and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. For the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. And that, remember, Psalm 4, verse 8 in that, that's the prayer that, the old prayer of 100 years ago, that's what I learned as a little boy. You all have different things. That's what my father taught me when I was little. We had to kneel by the bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Little prayer. I still know it. I don't say it all the time, though. Now, so, in Psalm, over to Psalm 36, you'll see it again. The believers were looking for God's light. That's what they were looking for. In Psalm 36, picking up, you'll catch it, in verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee, why is this going to happen? For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light, in thy light shall we see light. I can only see light. That's all you see anyway, is light. That's all you see. You see what light shows you. Is that we're talking about seeing? We aren't talking about feeling. We aren't talking about touching. We're talking about seeing. You see. That's what you do. You see things. How do you see them? In the light. That's how you have sight, not blindness. You have sight in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God wants us to have light. Back over to the thing in 1 John, if you turn there yet. In 1 John, the joy, the joy of this fellowship requires God. Who's the fellowship with? God. God is the one that we have fellowship with. And that fellowship requires light. You can't enjoy God in the dark. You can't do that. You can read the Bible, but if you keep your light out, keep it out of the way, then you don't see. You can read it, you can quote it, you can write a whole book in the Bible. You can write 3 books in the Bible, but you don't see. You don't see. You need to see. Personally, see what you're reading to have the truth, the reality in your heart and life. So therefore, the fullness of joy requires the light of God, requires God in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and requires God. And we used the illustration on Wednesday, and maybe it'll be appropriate again. Here you are, and in the dark, and God comes along in a most wonderful way and saves you. You receive him as your Savior. God does a wonderful thing, and he comes into your heart. You still have the darkness. But as I trust God, I see the darkness. How do I see the darkness in the light? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and make him a liar. In the light, without the light, I call this light and the other darkness. But when I receive him as my Savior, God does a wonderful thing. He brings into my darkness the light. And perhaps I can do it the other way. God brings into, and the darkness is now covered by the blood of Christ in the light, so that I walk in the light as he is in the light. I'm able to enjoy the light. That's what I do. That's what God's ministry is, to help me see the reality. The reality of what? What really is. What we really are. What everything really is. But we don't want to see the reality of things. So we walk in the dark. We don't walk in the light. We don't do it. And we lose out in a most awesome way. We lose out in an awful way, I should say. Now, having said that, so God wants us to have this joy, this wonderful joy in the light and not in the darkness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Ephesians, if you would. Well, let me do it a little differently even, to do it so you see it again. Let me connect the dots. First, go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So you see, boom, boom, boom. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the problem is darkness. Why do we have darkness? Verse 3, chapter 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, the unsaved. In whom, verse 4, the God, the Satan, the God of this world system, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. When I received Christ, I received God's wonderful light in his life, in his person, in Christ Jesus. He brought that into my heart, into my life. Unbelief blinds my mind, cuts me off. Unbelief turns me off so that I don't see. I don't see my unbelief. I've got to believe and look to God. And God gives me, God fills me with light. And the light helps me to see. So that as I'm going and growing, I'll reach the point, if I really do, like the Apostle Paul, Romans 7, 18 and that, in me dwelleth no good thing. To be able to say that with all of my heart, comfortably, to be as, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I want to be able to say that comfortably in the light, in the light. I'm comfortable because we aren't trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in the Lord to save us, to keep us, to give us the life that we need. Therefore, in the light of that, sliding down to verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine, Christ is the light of the world, shiner of darkness. Where has he shined? When I received him as my Savior, shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, what have you done? You've done something wonderful. When I received the Lord as my Savior, he brought Christ into my heart. That's what I do. Saved in my heart. Believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. For God, who commanded the light to shine of darkness, has shined in my hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God. where in the face of Jesus Christ, he brings God to me. And I can find God. I read, that's why you got the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to see him. Can you see him? He gives us an understanding, word after word, to understand and believe. That's what you need. That's what we need to do. Therefore, over to Colossians. And in Colossians and chapter 1, what did God do? He saved us in the most wonderful way. So, when we go, Colossians, picking up, if I can, verse 10, biblical prayers, that's what to pray, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In light. The believers walk in the light. We'll have fellowship one with another in the light, not in the dark. In the light, we'll have fellowship. Very God-conscious. We aren't in the dark. We aren't kidding ourselves about anything. We have the light on. So when we look at the color chart, we all have to call the colors what they are. We aren't make-believing. In the dark, we can call them whatever we want. We can even eliminate the color chart. But in the light, you can't do that. Our fellowship has to be in the light. Therefore, with the saints, therefore in verse 13, who hath delivered us, God, who delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, transplanted us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God placed us, put us, transplanted us into his Son, in the Son, in Christ Jesus, in the light. We're able to go and have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God in the light, in the light. That's what we want to do. God saved us from darkness to light. Over to Ephesians. And Ephesians, and in chapter 4. What about the Ephesian believer? What about all believers? Chapter 4, in verse 17. 4 and 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the dark, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, and their unbelief keeps them blind. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But we don't want to believe. Then we don't have any light. We live in the dark. That's how we live. Now, so God saves us. When God saves us, and we go from darkness to light, and thus we have a wonderful relationship for fellowship. Chapter 5, in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You used to be in the dark, you aren't anymore, so be walking in the light. Sliding down, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. and have, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things are reproved, are made manifest. How do you reveal and see things in the reality? Are made manifest by the light. Verse 13, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's right. The purpose of light is to see things. That's why we have light. That's why we look to light in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Verse 14, what is the believer encouraged to do in the light of that? Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, awake. Present tense, a command. Wake up, wake up, wake up is the word. Wake up. Thus saith he, awake, wake up, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. In other words, stop being unbelieving, stop being indifferent, stop being carnal. Don't be carnal, be looking to God. Don't try to be living your life apart from the light. Be living your life in light of the light. That's what to be doing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. And what's it going to do when you wake up? Right? Christ shall make you, verse 14, Christ shall give thee light. Now, when you close your eyes in a dark room, and you close your eyes, and if you close your eyes, you can't see. It's all dark, all dark. Now, God says, why does he say? Because I tend to close my eyes so that I don't have to see the light, the realities of life. The realities of life are hard, so I keep my eyes closed. And I go to work, home, school, and everything. That's what I do. But God says, admonishing me, wake up. I open my eyes. And there's the light. There's the light. Open your eyes so you can see. Wake up. So you can see. Now, so you see that. So you see that in another different way. Go with me over to Romans. And in chapter 13. And just so you see it, Romans in chapter 13, and you pick it up in verse 11, 13:11, and that knowing the time, and we ought to know the time of the day, what's happening, that now is it high time to awake. There's your little word, awake, awake, wake up, out of sleep. Why? For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, it's getting darker. The day is at hand, the Lord's return. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Wow, etc. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, that's the lying in bed, and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, I'm going to trust the Lord and abide like the branch, and I'm going to be in the light. And when I'm in the light, I'm protected in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, what am I protected from? Back over to Ephesians. I need to wake up and see. I won't see it if I don't wake up. I stay in the dark. I'm not going to see. What's the problem? Why is the world going the way it's going? Chapter 6, And in chapter 6, if I may, verse 12, for we, put on verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's going on right now. But in the dark, with my eyes closed, I don't see it. Oh, I know things aren't good and there are bad things going on. More and more, that's true. But I don't see it really. It's a movement, a big movement, global movement to move humanity away from God, away from a religious system ultimately, to where they just have materialism and looking, and they're going to have to end up looking to humans. What human? There's a human the devil has, the Antichrist, to make us end up, who we're going to look to? The Antichrist. You don't read in that revelation. You don't read him looking to Methodism or Baptist or Catholic or anything. Jewish, you don't read it. The world's looking. The man has to put the pieces together. That's the bottom line. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, back over to 1 John. And you will note. Now, if having said that, we have to walk in the light, and him is no darkness. If, third class, it may or may not be true. If we say that we have fellowship with him, oh, I have fellowship with God, I know God. If we say that, if we say it, we may or may not say it. If we say it, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You cannot say you're walking and trusting God in the dark. You can't do it in the dark. There is no darkness in God. He's light. You can't have fellowship with God and have darkness. Light has to prevail. Light has to prevail. Darkness can't prevail. You lie and do not the truth. But we're all there. We're all together in unity, churches and world council and all of that. Well, we do all that. You lie. You don't have any, you're in darkness. You can't have fellowship with God in the dark. You can't do it. If you say you have fellowship with him, you lie and do not the truth. You don't have fellowship. That's real. It's hard to think about it because fellowships are a big thing. And we say it. We have fellowship with God and everything. And we do all this. And we do it. The trouble is, if we do that, and we aren't in the light, then here's the people on what, here's the people down the street or somewhere listening to me. I talk to them, or they know me, or they know you. Well, it's make believe. In the process, they know and do whatever. And we try to get them to read the Bible, to open the Bible, read the Gospel of John, etc. And you can be saved. And they're looking at us, not you, looking at people, and they look at professing Christians, and they look at them. And they say, well, you're going to be saved. What's being saved? It's like me. It's like me. And you look at, we look at the people that can do that in the dark, and their life is no different than mine. Their language is hardly any different than mine. What they do and drink and eat and go, they're no different than me. Why do I need to be like you? You want me to be saved like you? But you're no different than me. There's no difference. Why do I want that? The believers need to be different. Wonderfully, wonderfully different. If we say we walk in the light and he's in the light, and we have fellowship with him. But if we're in the dark, like in walk in fellowship, we walk in darkness and we lie and do not the truth. You can't do that. And so that's why people on years ago, use an illustration. Years ago, back, probably a long time ago, in our country, New York, I forget the church, Calvary, whatever it was, and, you know, I use that because I remember it, and they would go, and they'd line up in the morning at 6 o'clock to get a seat. They didn't have any of the gimmicks. They didn't have a sound system, probably. And they'd have none of that. Just to hear the word of God. Just to hear the word. Think of Wesley coming through. And Whitfield. Whitcomb coming through. And Whitfield coming through. And they came. They were waiting. They left. They dropped their plow. They dropped what they were doing. They dropped the soup they were cooking to what? To run, literally ran in Middletown to hear him. There was when you saw believers, they're excited about being believers. They're excited about God. And so it got other people excited. Other people got excited. But that all disappeared. And today, wow, come, because we got this big auditorium where we have dinner, basketball, movies. We have everything. We call it church. We have everything. It's a social group. We answer your social needs. But the church isn't there to answer the social needs. The church is there. Christ is there to save us. Not to answer our social needs, to get saved from what? The social needs that dominate us, to get saved out from them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God does that. So if we say we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we need to understand we need to have fellowship. And if we don't have the fellowship, we have a problem. And therefore, God, what do we need to know? Over, if we can, to John chapter 5, the Gospel of John and chapter 5. And if I may, chapter 5, picking up, if I can, in verse 36. 5 and 36. Jesus, but he said, Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. See the works. Verse 17, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. We can't see God, no. Hath borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen him shape. You can't see God. I make God. I bring light. I am the light. I am the light to see God. I made you so that you could receive the light. I am the light. God made you. You can't see him. God saves you. God is light. When I receive him as my Savior, he becomes the light of my life. That's what he does. And I am able to enjoy the life and walk in the light. 1 Timothy, closing. 1 Timothy, if I can, chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, Picking up, if I may. Picking up, please, verse 15. 1 Timothy 6 and 15. Which, I'll read verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God is light, and apart from Christ, you can't see God. Christ makes God real, visible, so that we can understand him. Why do we understand him? Because we're made in his image. He's just like us, with flesh and blood, soul and spirit, in his perfect humanity. And I can understand that and see it. And when I believe, he brings that wonderful light that he is into my life and saves me. And the light comes on. And I see God. I see things and understand better. That which is common sense and wonderful, and gives wonderful, wonderful reality to my world, to the world I live in. So I look at the color chart. I see it. I don't call darkness light. I see darkness for what it is. I see man, apart from God's good, as bad. We don't come out good. We can't come out good until God gets into our heart and saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God has to help us. If you say you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you don't walk in darkness. You walk in the light. God help us. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And Spirit of God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for everything. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.